again? I mean, loud and clear, huh?
Well, we were talking about the way that the dam was made. That's really interesting.
But you can see right here that there's logs exposed there, and you see the rocks? Mm-hmm. And on top of that is concrete, which was the concrete was put in later years, and then there's logs in here going this way.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did they hold back the water, or it doesn't seem to be going over very fast at that point?
Well, the water's probably pretty low there. In fact, you see that was made, that picture was taken in the middle of summer when the water was low. And in fact, in the summer, when the water got really low enough, we couldn't use the mill. You know, when the water got low in the summer, you couldn't use the mill. And when the water was high in the wintertime, if the water backed up until there was no drop, you couldn't run the mill.
What do you mean it backed up till there was no?
Well, drop? Downstream, for instance, in wintertime, if you got a bunch of slush ice down, the river froze solid down below the bridge. And the water backed up, so that there was no drop over the dam. You didn't have any water for.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And in the summertime, if there wasn't enough water to have a drop through the turbine, well, you didn't have any water power either.
Well, what did they do then?
You didn't do anything. But in later years, my dad bought an old tractor and put in a tractor engine in the basement of the mill to run the mill. When the water conditions weren't correct.
Well, looks like the kids are working pretty hard there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I remember that. We put planks, use a wheelbarrow and run the wheelbarrow on planks to get those. We picked these stones. See, there's the stones out of the dam down here, and we run them back up in there again.
I can see the logs moving.
Yeah, there's logs here.
Okay, now, what about this? This is a
rough sketch of what Havana used to look like before my time. Mm-hmm. And this is the mill here. Mm-hmm. And that's that store building right across the yard.
Oh, okay.
And the barn across the road. Mm-hmm. And up here there was a bunch of little houses. I don't remember how many. And as I remember it, they had it platted out in the blocks, you know, like mm-hmm. a town. But in my memory, I don't remember these houses here, but they took two of those houses and made this house where we used to live right here. They put it together in the middle. That's where we used to live. Two of these little houses put together.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And then over here, my brother was born, a little house on top of the hill over here. And this is where I was born. I was born, and there's a little house here, and the river came right around like that. And this house is right on the riverbank. And we used to go to school right here. There's where the school was, the little country school. Kettler's is up here.
Mm-hmm.
Kettler. Now, this used to be a partial farm.
Mm.
My dad used to live there, where Kettler's is now. Mm. That used to be a partial farm. And this farm up here belongs to
Carlton.
That used to be the mill house there. That used to be a partial farm.
The first house?
The first house, big old white house. It used to be a beautiful looking place. We used to have pictures of that. It looked like a mansion, you know, pillared.
Mm-hmm.
Pillared.
That's called the mill house?
That was the mill house at one time.
Mm.
In fact, I seen pictures of it. It looked like a picture, all painted up and beautiful looking place. And then the family also owned land all up along the river here. I don't know how far, but we used to have deeds or old papers that showed that the family owned land clear up around here, besides this farm here. But I don't know how far up, but
mm-hmm.
they used to tell about the big walnut trees up there they cut for lumber and stove wood and whatnot.
What about that bridge? Was there a different bridge? Is that an old bridge?
That's the same bridge that's been there as long as I remember. But what the original one looked like, I don't know. That's not the original bridge.
Okay.
I suppose the original one was wood.
Now, let me take a look at these. Oh, it looks so nice there.
Yeah, you see, that's when I was a kid. Well, I was probably in high school when that picture was taken, because you can tell by the age of that truck. Well, that truck is about a 36, probably, a 38. About a 36-year truck.
Now, the truck is backed up to the...
to the store building where they're loading flour on.
And they're loading flour onto it?
Onto the truck, yeah. See, when my dad When my dad bought that place, they started delivering flour around to stores around the state. They went, well, maybe up as far as Bay City and all around within 50 miles, 75 miles of delivering flour. But before that, they depended on the farmers come in to trade wheat for flour, mostly local trade.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But in later years, they delivered flour around and had quite a business selling pancake flour. They put a pancake flour.
Is that a pump?
That's a dug well there with a hand pump on it. In fact, my dad got my brother to go down there and clean it all. And people come in there on weekends and swimming and messing around and they throw all kinds of junk down that well.
You're in trouble even then, huh?
Hell, oh yeah.
Now, you mentioned swimming. Now, would that be the mill pond? Was that near?
Well, they swim up above and below both, and there was always fishermen there. And you know, you're just going to keep people out. You know.
Now, there's quite an apron on that, isn't there?
Yes.
Is that the back of it? Or?
That's after it's been finished. It's probably the same year after it's been rebuilt.
See? Well, that was a lot of work, wasn't it?
Oh, you bet. Mm. Yeah, you see, that looks to me like fresh concrete on there.
Mm-hmm.
These stones were all picked up, or most of them, and put back in there. Yeah, it was concreted. That's probably the same summer.
And then this is the area where the ice...
Yes, the ice comes over there. You see, that's the top of the dam. The ice mm-hmm. in the spring comes over there and slams down on top of this thing, as well as undermining it, and takes a hunk out of there. Right now, I think there's a big hole in mm-hmm. the dam on this end.
Was there a way to regulate the way the water came over?
No, there's no...
You didn't take things out?
No.
Did it?
Well, we used to, in the summertime, we used to... We had holes drilled in the concrete across the top, and we put boards up there to try to keep the water level higher.
You know,
and we were, Dad was always after us to go out there and plug the leaks. The thing that wasn't very watertight, you know, and we were always out there putting sand and gravel in the holes, and there were cattails or anything else we'd get in to plug up the leaks.
So then, was most of the water channeled through the flume?
Well, yes. The water went through the round on the other side here. The water went through the flume and dropped down through this water wheel and came out right mm-hmm. down through here.
Mm-hmm. There was an actual, like, pipe that led to the turbine then? Or?
Well,
How did that? The
flume just went in under the mill, and it had a rack to take the leaves and junk out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that flume just extended under the mill, and it was made out of wood.
Out of wood.
Uh-huh. And then the turbine was just a hole in the bottom of that flume. So the water was like 6 or 8 feet of water under the mill in this flume,
mm-hmm.
and then when you open the gates on the water wheel, it just dropped right through the water wheel.
How did they start the turbine?
Well, we had a wheel upstairs with a long shaft down to underwater.
Mm-hmm.
You just turned this wheel and it opened the ports around the side of this water wheel was a big cast iron thing, 4 feet in diameter, maybe 5 feet in diameter. Might have been bigger than that. This is 30 years ago. At least 5 feet in diameter, and it had little gates around the side that you opened these gates and let the water in. And when the water dropped down through the wheel and caused it to turn.
Was this at the top of it or at the bottom of it?
The gates were on the side of the thing.
Okay.
But the whole thing was made out of cast iron and put together, bolted together.
Was it totally immersed in water?
Yes.
Okay.
It was under several feet of water.
Okay. How did you regulate the speed? Is that how you regulated the speed of the machinery? And
well, you could open the... It depends how far you had these gates open to let the water in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And also the head of water, you know. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, if you only had 3 feet of water, you didn't get near as much power as you would in the mm-hmm. spring when you had 8 feet of water.
Let me see this. Now, here it is in winter.
Yes, and it shows... You see, you've got... The river's backed up. That's why that picture was
yeah.
taken. The river is frozen downstream and it's backed up and there's no water power there.
Uh-huh.
You see? The water below the dam is about the same height as the water above the dam and there's no drop through the turbine and you just couldn't run the thing.
Mm-hmm. Now there's got the old building.
That's the old office building right there, yeah. I remember that office building had a hole about that big around, right through the ceiling, where somebody shot up through there with a shotgun. They used to tell about it before my time, but somebody came in there with a shotgun and was messing around and shot right up through the ceiling.
Now, let's see. Were there grindstones or what did they
used rolls. It was in the front yard of the house where we lived up above, there was a old grindstone, the old original, and it was at least 5 feet across. And it was made out of keystone-shaped stones mm-hmm. with an iron band around the outside. And in the center was a square metal hole to drive, and the thing was made in France.
How old would that have been?
Well, that was the old original, 100 years old or better. And we, you know, when they took them out, they put one in front of Carlton's house and one in front of the house where we live. And the one in front of Carlton's, they just tore it apart and the stones were all over the place. But the one in front of our house, we sat on cement. Mm-hmm. You know, the iron banner on the outside rusted out. And mm-hmm. One Sunday afternoon, we got Dad and the kids together and we set those stones in cement to preserve it. But it's gone. I don't know what happened. Whoever took over didn't know what it was and probably threw it out. But I've been by there several times and I can't see it.
Now, where was the Carlton house where the other stone was?
Well, right here. This is the Carlton. This used to be a partial house, but the stone was sitting right there under a tree. There used to be a tree about here and right there. And it just, you know, the kids threw it around. Mm-hmm. And the one over here was sitting right there. Used to be two trees here, big maple trees, and that thing was sitting right there, and we made a special effort to preserve it, but it's gone, as far as I can see.
Now, I understand that it took two stones to make a mill.
Right. You got two halves there, see?
That was the top and the bottom?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it was changed to rollers?
Yes. There was, I think, four stages of rolls. Oh. You want a description of how they work?
Sure, and like what floor would they have been on?
Well,
how did that work?
Right here, there's hoppers right in the front of this building, and the farmers would come. This thing was built up mostly for custom work for farmers mm-hmm. locally. And they would bring their wheat in and trade it for flour, and I think they got a third of the weight back in flour or something like that. There was a mm-hmm. formula they went by. Mm-hmm. And right in here, there on this dock, there were hoppers, and the wheat came in bags, and you just dumped the bags down that hopper. And then the elevator took it up, and there up in here, there was a machine to clean the sticks and stones and stuff out of the leaves and whatnot out of the wheat, and blow the husks out and straw. And it came down into a scales, right? On the inside of the wall, the main door was right here, and just on the inside of the wall right here, there's a scales, which was suspended. It was a big wooden box with a sloped bottom, and it was suspended on a beam, a beam-type scales. And so the wheat came down after it was cleaned into this box, which was just hanging in the floor, mm-hmm. in a hole in the floor. Mm-hmm. And then they weighed the wheat and dumped it, and then from there it went down and was transferred by another elevator into a storage bin. Up.
Over here?
Well, there were storage bins here and several of them around here and there, up in there, wherever they could find room for a storage bin.
And the water power ran all this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, then the wheat, and that scale was a work of art. It was just a handmade work of art. It's just a shame it's gone.
There's no pictures or anything on it?
No. Oh. And then the wheat went, after it came out of the storage bin, it came down, it went through a scouring, a finer cleaning system, a scourer outfit, and I can't remember how that worked. But it cleaned. It was up in the second floor.
Okay.
I just don't remember how that worked. But after it came down from there, it went through the first roll. And those rolls are like a foot in diameter. And there's two of them that rolled towards each other.
Oh, okay.
And one of them, on the first stage, one of them was had corrugations in it. So that, and it was set a little ways apart so that the wheat berries would go through there and one wheel or one roll run faster than the other. Mm-hmm. And it had a tendency to flatten the husk on the wheat, the epidermis of the wheat. Mm-hmm. It kind of flattened it out and peeled the flour off from the inside of it.
Oh.
Well, then it went from there to a revolving screen with silk mm-hmm. on it. And it was a hexagonal wooden frame about 12, 15 foot long. And the mashed wheat from the first set of rolls went into this screen, and the screen was slightly out of horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
And it revolved. And the flour went through the silk screen.
Mm-hmm.
And the coarser stuff, the bran and whatnot, went to the second stage of rolling, where they used smooth wheels or smooth rolls that were set closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm not sure, but I think second or third stage, I can't remember now whether the bran went. What you ended up with was flour, bran, and middlings, and the bran was the outside of the wheat mm-hmm. berry, the epidermis, and the middlings were the germ in the end, where the sprout yeah. comes from, and then you had those two items besides the flour. And I can't remember whether the bran was extracted after the fourth stage or whether it was taken out. I'm sure that the middlings and bran must have been taken out before the last stage, but I really can't remember.
Now, where was that done?
Well, the rolls were on the main floor right here, and there was four of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were cast iron framed with these rolls across, set in babbitt bearings, and the wooden panels to enclose the whole work. And after it went through the rolls, it dropped down the basement, and elevators picked it up and took it up to the second story to go through these silk screens, and there was one of these screens for each set of rolls.
Now, what do you mean by elevators?
They were square spouts, about so square, made out of wood, and top and bottom was a wheel,
mm-hmm.
and this had leather or fiber belts went over these wheels with metal cups bolted into the belt, and there was a lot of them.
Go into a big bin and then it scooped them out of there?
Right. These things were you had two legs, they called them legs, on the elevator, and on the bottom was the boot.
Mm-hmm.
Where the two legs and the boot, well, you run another spout or a spout into the boot, and as the cups come along, they pick that stuff up off that spout. You know, use it for wheat or grain or mm-hmm. or flour, middlings. Everything went in these elevators.
And all of that was all the big hoppers were down in the basement there.
Well, they really weren't hoppers. They were just. Well, I'll draw you a picture.
Okay.
These elevators look like that,
mm-hmm.
and I imagine they're common today. But they're all built out of wood, and they usually had kind of a hex-shaped bottom on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in here you had a wheel. This isn't drawn correctly, but the belt run down over this wheel, like that, and you had cups, metal cups.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I suppose before they had metal, they had to whittle them out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm sure I've seen some wooden ones. And originally, they probably were leather belts, but mm-hmm. in my day, they were mostly fiber belts. They were mm-hmm. bought factory-built belts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you had a spout coming down here from the rolls or whatever. And it just dumped into this boot.
Mm-hmm.
These were called legs, and this was called a boot here. And the spouts, these legs look they were just hollow boards, you know, mm-hmm. like that, square. Mm-hmm. And the belt went down one side, and those cups are just half of the belt.
Okay, I think you can still see some of those.
No doubt.
A little bit of, I wondered what they were, and that's how they raised it.
Well, every machine in that thing had a one of these elevators to go with it to run from, you know.
Mm-hmm. It just,
stuff went down by gravity, but it had to be elevated back up.
Things must have been going all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
When it was,
oh, yeah.
How many people did it take to operate?
Well, they usually operated by one person.
One person?
Mm-hmm. The flour mill could be operated by one person because you got the mill going and you set the feed on the rolls and it's the proper feed. Mm-hmm. And then the guy had nothing much to do. He'd check it once in a while, but he was bagging flour.
Oh.
We had a bagger for 50 pounds, one for 25 pounds, and one for 5 pounds. Everything went in a paper sack.
Well, what would be somebody would bring in flour then, and it would run until they'd ground that?
No, what they did, they had flour ahead of time. All they did was exchange milled flour mm-hmm. for the wheat. Mm-hmm. But it depended on business, you know. When things are slow, one person could run it. And in fact, when there's quite a demand for flour, they used to have a person running it at night.
Oh.
Used to run it all night. If they had enough water and there was enough demand for flour, a person would run that all night. Now, he didn't have to mess around with customers. Mm-hmm. And so he was just running the mill and bagging flour all night. But during the day, it was pretty hard to wait on customers and bag flour. So usually there were two people there. And also, there was a feed mill in there. The farmers brought in feed to be grown.
Oh.
And that, they always figured, my dad said that his dad always figured that the feed mill would pay wages mm-hmm. for two mm-hmm. or three people. Mm-hmm. And the flour mill was profit.
Did it make a lot of noise?
Yes.
Was it noisy?
Especially when the feed mill was going. Oh. The feed mill was two plates, about like this, corrugated, and they were run together like the old stone wheels, only they were made out of steel, and they mm-hmm. run fast. They made quite a racket.
Did that run off the turbine, or was
that run off a separate turbine? It had its own turbine, water wheel. Used to call them water wheels.
Water wheel.
Had its own separate turbine.
So there would have been two of them down there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only the feed mill. The feed mill was added later, and they made a chute out of the bottom of the flume, so it came over and down into the feed mill turbine. And my dad always complained. He said it was pretty inefficient for me. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to change it, but he never did because it cost too much money.
I can see it's painted in this picture. Do you recall?
We never painted it. In all the years I was there, we never painted it.
Oh.
It was painted, but mm-hmm. we never painted it.
Was it sort of grayish?
Then? It was a gray color, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it cost, you know, there wasn't much money in it. We made a living, and that's about it. Uh-huh. Now, before my time, they made money.
Yeah. Oh, I see, sure.
But in my time, we made a living, and mm-hmm. then when the war came along, my dad got a chance to get out of there, but he just left. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand that it was something of a gathering place for people to go.
Well, they used to come down here and picture swim, and the farmers come down here and sit around the office, and, you know, have winter afternoon and shoot the breeze. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They used to have a big potbelly stove in the office there that they could burn corn cobs and wood and everything like that.
Corn cobs?
Yeah, corn cobs. They used to burn corn cobs. They'd sit around there and spit on that stove. I'll never forget that. They had a spittoon there, too, that was pretty rank.
I'll bet.
In fact, I don't like spittoons at all. I never forgot those spittoons. When they weren't using a spittoon, they'd spit on the stove.
That was in the office?
Yeah, that was in this office over here.
And that would have been this part, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before this piece was put in.
So there was machinery and all.
Well, yes.
Floors.
You see, there are three floors. There's four. Counting mm-hmm. the basement, there's a basement, and then the main floor, and the second floor, and the third floor. Now, the third floor, there was two or three reels up there, but I think they were made, I think they were used for rye flour. We had a separate mill for rye flour and one for buckwheat flour. And also there was a corn sheller in there, and they used to make corn flour. So there was, over on the south side, they had these little mills. They were just single mills for that. They weren't as elaborate as the regular white flour mill. But they were there. They made corn flour, rye flour, and buckwheat flour. In fact, they used buckwheat flour in the pancake flour. They mix it with the white flour in the pancake flour. Used quite a lot of buckwheat. In fact, Dad used to buy buckwheat. Well, they didn't raise enough around here, and he used to buy it, come in by the cartload. He used to go down Chesing and load it on the truck and haul it out there.
By mills, do you mean those rollers again?
The rolls, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a set of rolls for making for rye flour, and there was a set of rolls, maybe two sets, for making buckwheat flour. I've forgotten.
I wanted to ask about the scales again. You said that they were really quite something and that they were hand-done.
The scales were actually a box with a sloped bottom, and they were probably 4 foot square.
Oh.
The scale. And it was all made out of wood. And it had a beam, you know, a scale beam, and that was wrought iron, handmade. Mm. Yeah.
When do you think that was made?
It probably was made at the time the bill was built.
The original?
By the time the Civil War. But you see that every one of those operations had at least one spout or one of these elevator deals, mm-hmm. and some of them several.
These
elevators were in banks around the place, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has certainly been interesting here.
I could roughly sketch out a floor plan of the main floor.
You could.
Yeah.
I'd really appreciate that.
It's not kind of late.
I can stick the picture back in.
See that water wheel? Now this is in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second floor, or
right.
Main floor.
Main floor.
But this thing is down in the basement. In fact, it's below the basement. It's down in the bottom of the river. And it had a shaft come out of the center of it that came up about so high off the floor,
mm-hmm.
in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a, here's your water wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a shaft coming right on the top of the water wheel. Well, on top of that shaft was a spur gear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How do you draw a spur gear? And then there was another one, matching gear.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Oh.
And you had a line shaft go across here.
Mm-hmm.
And all this machinery was run off that line shaft. The whole works except for the feed mill. The feed mill over here had a separate. Mm-hmm. This had a separate wheel, but it was down here outside the flume, and it had a spout over to the turbine for the feed mill.
Mm-hmm.
But all this machinery in this mill was run by that water wheel right there, off this line shaft, and you had a whole mess of pulleys on that line shaft and belts to drive. Well, actually, the belt could drive an elevator, for instance, that went up the top floor, mm-hmm. and that elevator on top could have a chain from the top of that elevator to another machine.
Oh.
So that when you started that water wheel up, the whole mill started from the top floor right down through into the basement, off the one water wheel.
Did they move belts around to have different machines work, or did the whole thing
If you weren't using a machine like this rye mill is sitting right here. If you weren't using that thing, you just run the belt off the pulley.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But generally speaking, when you started the water wheel, the whole mill,
right,
mm-hmm. all of a piece.
Right,
but
yeah. When you start that water wheel, what you're doing 99% of the time is running flour through the main flour rolls.
Where was the wheel that started the water?